Say, Lord, we just want to thank you for being so good to us, for letting us be here tonight. Lord, letting us be part of the work of God and having a family here in this world and just have an opportunity to be able to do something for Jesus. Let's just gather around and thank you, Lord.
Amen. I think we're to thank God for it. Okay. Amen. Amen.
Brother Zach, you pray for us. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here in the house of the Lord again this evening. God, we want to thank you for the blessings that you poured upon us and allowed us to be here to hear your word. Dear God, we can be void of understanding and away from the word of God and in this world without any hope.
God, we thank you for this hope, Lord, this poor man cried in the Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your kindness to us.
Thank you, blessed God.
Dear God, we thank you
that you saved
us. Dear God, to allow us to sit in the house of the Lord.
Lord, I want to
hear the songs of Zion and listen to the preaching. Dear God, we thank you, dear God, that we're not bad in hell already. God, with your mercy, your grace is there. Dear God, you said that. Dear God, you said in your word that your mercy endureth forever. God, that your mercy endureth from all eternity.
Lord, thank you, Lord, that we're able to live in our country. Dear God, we can still go to church.
Dear God, that we can be
able to
destroy. God,
just meet out here, Lord, without hiding out, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Dear God, that we can be in hell.
God, that we can hold in our hands the precious, valuable, wonderful,
God, our presence can be gone.
Lord, I want to thank you tonight, God, that we can look upon it with our eyes and we can hear it with our ears. God, we can speak it, Lord, with our lips, and God, we can, God, to receive it into our heart. We just want to thank you tonight, God, that we're a blessed people, God, to be able to be partakers of the marvelous grace of God. God, we're partakers of the Word of God. Lord, we're just partakers of the Church of God. Lord, and I'm a partaker, Lord, of the family of God. Just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for all that you do. Thank you, God, for just being God. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the blood. I want to thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice. I want to thank you, Lord, for the provisions you make. I want to thank you, Lord, for the clothes we wear. I want to thank you, Lord, for the cars we drive. I want to thank you, Lord, for the food you give us to eat. Lord, I want to thank you for the shoes you give us to wear. Lord, I want to thank you for our families. I want to thank you, God, for our friends. I want to thank you, God, for just being God. Thank God. I want to thank you, Lord, for being so good to us.
Dear God, that you died upon the cross of Calvary and shed your blood.
Right.
Dear God, the darling, precious Son of God, they peeled the flesh off of his back. Dear God, they beat him with a cat of nine tails. Dear God, they hung him upon the cross,
yeah,
and his soul
you,
was
Lord.
Made an offering for
thank
son
Lord,
for sin.
God,
dear God, that you went down into the lower
just
parts of the earth
it.
And you led captive
back
and gave gifts
God,
of men,
Lord,
and
be
you
lost
took those
in
from the earth
God.
And you preached to
Lord,
them and
you
took them out.
Us, God,
you
in spite of our shame,
all the mercy
God, you led us and saved
we
us.
We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Have,
you
God.
Said, now the God of Jesus
spite
of
all
of
our doings, in spite
of
all
of
our
wickedness,
you loved
us.
We were yet dead in our trespasses and sins.
While
you're
willing
to quicken us, Lord, God sent us to every heavenly place. Well, thank you, Lord. Well,
thank
you, blessed
God. Dear God, God, for not destroying us already, dear God. We thank you for your mercy. Dear God, we pray that you'd have mercy upon us tonight. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Zach, y'all feel safe in that song. Hallelujah. It's always good to pray. Can't thank him enough.
You know, how's it going, everybody, and such, but I've got a heavy heart tonight.
Good.
I was looking around while everybody was singing, "How great thou art," and the chorus says, "This sings my soul."
Right.
Doesn't say, "This sings my flesh."
Right.
How many people in here tonight were singing that in the flesh, because they can't sing that in their soul?
Right.
You know why? Because God is not great to them.
Sir.
He's not great and he's not wonderful to them because they don't know him in their soul. All they know him is in their flesh, and they can sing the songs, but it has no meaning like it does to those who are saved.
Right.
How about that? You want to know how great thou art? You want to know how great God is? Then you need to be saved.
Right.
Salvation is a gift. Brother, I like to be nosy, and I was just looking around while you were up here preaching and stuff, and it's just some pretty hard people in this church. You really don't give a rip.
Right.
That's what you just don't care. Just go ahead and admit it. You just don't care. I'm watching the man of God up here talking and watching the faces of people yawning. They're stretching. They just don't care.
Right.
And you want God to care for your soul? I'm not saying because you're the man of God, you're something special. You are in God's eyes. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that when the singing's going on and the praying's going on, and you just don't care. That's called a rejection. Just telling you.
That's good.
That's dangerous grounds.
Shorty.
Listen, people are about to cross over somewhere they may not come back from. That's what it says in the Bible. It says, suddenly cometh destruction and without remedy, without remedy, without remedy. That means there will be no help. It's over with. You cross that line, and the book of Revelation says that he blows out that candle. And it says, you know what it says? That the bridegroom stops speaking inside.
Right.
It's over with. It's a wrap at that point. What does the Bible mean to anybody today? What does it mean to you in this room? What does salvation mean when the man of God? I'm talking about the pastor of this church or Zach when he gets up here and preaches Sunday school, and they get up here and they preach, and they preach the word of God straight down the line. I've heard it before, and you leave here the same person you've always been. What does that tell God? You think you really care about getting saved? You really think you care about where you're going to spend eternity? Remember when those words started meaning something to us, Amy? I'm telling you right now, if you're lost in this room tonight, you will not get saved until the Word of God means something to you. Job chapter 34. I want to share with you here for a few minutes. If you don't mind, if you do mind, that's okay. The door's right there. You can go home. But you know what? It might be the last time you walk out of this door. It might be that last time. But you know, we play Russian roulette with our soul very easily.
Sure.
But with nothing on this entire planet would we ever do that with. The things of this world, man, we take great care. With the things of the world, we take great care. With those responsibilities, we take great care for our families and so on. But when it comes to our soul, what care do we take? Tell me that's not where people are at today. There is no care for their soul. They could care less if they went to hell. There's no fear of hell in people. I'm telling you that tonight. There's no fear of God, and there is no fear of hell. That's not what's going to get them saved. But I'm telling you right now, the Holy Ghost, when he comes in and he runs by you and he shows you are exactly what you are, I'm just telling you, you hate it the way he hates it, you'll be saved.
Yeah.
All right. Amen.
Bottom line. I didn't have to go through a bunch of nonsense. I sat there for 4 years like this. Ready? Here we go. 4 years. Yeah, I'm being diligent.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to show you here in the Bible a little bit tonight. Look, it's Job 34. I'm going to read verse 3. 34:3 says, "For the ear trieth words, as the mouth tasteth meat." You understand? Somebody comes up and they want to give you something that you've never had before. You taste, oh, that was horrible. Or, oh, that was great. Well, the ear does the same thing when the Word of God is being preached.
Right.
And when you hear something that you don't like, or the Holy Ghost comes in and he moves across the pew and you don't like that, you do the same things if you just tasted something bad.
Sure.
You close it up. You shut your ears off. You're not going to hear it anymore. It's become repetitive. It's become a cliche. And here, this is what Job is talking about. He says, people have learned how to do that with the Word of God. They've learned how to do that against the preaching. They've learned how to do that with the Holy Ghost conviction.
Right. It's good, preacher.
You turn with me to Luke chapter 18. I'll show you an example of the ear that's trying the words. Luke chapter 18, if you would. And we're going to start in verse 18. In Luke chapter 18, verse 18. I'll give you a second to get there. Got quite a few verses to get through tonight. I think they're important. This is something I never preached before. The Lord gave me this. He gave me this message the other day, just sitting there. I mean, in complete turmoil, my soul. Not understanding, brother. But God knew that there was people in this room that needed to hear this.
Sure.
And he put me in turmoil. He put me through things, hard things to get to where I'm at tonight in this. Look what it says here in Luke chapter 18. Starting in verse 18, and it says, and a certain ruler asked him, talking about this young ruler, talking to Jesus Christ. He said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And this is really the religious way that people try to get to Jesus. Good master. Oh, isn't Jesus? Oh, look how wonderful he is. Isn't it? Look, it's Easter. We're going to go to church. And this is the way people are trying to come to Jesus Christ. They're trying to say, oh, look at the good master. Look at the good Jesus. Look what he's done.
Right.
That has never saved a person on this planet. It never will save a person. Right. It's never going to save a person if you just look at Jesus Christ like he's some religious holiday. I remember the Lord gave me a message saying that Jesus Christ is more than just a Christmas story. Because to the world, that's what he is. You see the little paintings on the wall of Noah's Ark. Do they know the importance of Noah's Ark? It's a decoration in their home. They've been desensitized to the word of God. The right. Devil has crept in and he has blinded the minds of them. He has desensitized right. the word of God to those people to where it means nothing anymore.
That's true.
You know why? Their ears are trying it. Let me just say this. How many of you went home Wednesday after I said and prepared your heart for tonight and for Saturday? How many went home and did it? Let me ask you this. How many really? Now look it. I'm going to tell you, when we were praying, I was looking around. I'm just going to let you know. I seen who was praying and who wasn't. Just so you know, I know.
Hey, it's good. I like it. Amen.
And you think you're worried about salvation? Is that what you think you really? You think you really want this thing called salvation? Let me ask you: what are you going to be saved from?
Right.
What is salvation? Do y'all even understand what that is? Let me tell you something: if you don't know it, you need to get in that Bible because it'll show it to you.
That's right.
Look at here, this young ruler. He says, and Jesus says unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, and that is God." He says, look, thou knowest the commandments. Jesus just pointed out to this boy's little religious things. He pointed out the religious part of this little kid, didn't he not? He said, thou knowest.
Right.
Jesus was reading him. You know the commandments. You know these things. But you know what it meant to him? Zero. You're about to find that out. Because Jesus is going to bring the word of God to him. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to reject it. But here, twice. Jesus Christ has already pinned him, and he doesn't even recognize it. Why? He's blind by his sin. He's looking at something that he does do. He's looking at his Bible reading. He's looking at his church. He's looking, look at a tithe. He's looking at the religious things that he does, and he's missing everything that Jesus Christ is trying to show him. And he's about to point it out to him. Look what it says here. It says here, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth up. Now see, after Jesus started talking, Jesus already pointed it out to him. Now the guy confesses, no, I do keep these up. Many of you in this room tonight, you keep up what most Baptists don't do. But let me ask you, where has it got you? Where are you at? Well, look at this. He says, I do these things and I kept them from my youth up. Doesn't that sound familiar for people who have grown up in church?
Yep.
Brother, you mean to tell me that this Bible right here has power on my life but not yours because you grew up in church and you can stay lost? Is that what you're trying to tell me? How's the difference? There's a difference between me and you. I believe Jesus Christ. I don't believe a religion. Because religion wouldn't touch somebody like me, Amber. Religion wasn't going to change me. Religion couldn't deliver me from myself. It couldn't deliver me from those things that I was
That's
in.
That's right.
You know what? This boy's about to see that. Me and Pastor, I believe he agrees that, I think this is Paul before salvation. It fits him perfectly. I could be wrong. That's all right. But look, it says, now Jesus heard these things. He said unto him, yet thou lackest one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. And when he, listen to this, look at, when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was rich. His ears just tried what Jesus Christ said. Yes, you know what he did? He rejected them. Isn't that what Job 34 just talked about? Sir. It tried those words, and when he heard that, he became convicted under the laws of God. Instead of turning to Jesus Christ, he turned from him. That's what most people in this room are tonight when they're lost. They're not turning to Jesus Christ. They come to that place of conviction, but they discern. They take what the Word of God has said, and they shut it off, and they don't listen to it anymore. Could you imagine if we just shut off here? Remember Eric Balow? Loved the kid. It was in my Sunday school class. You know what he told us one day? I had him teach my Sunday school class. He said, Dale, you know what the problem is? I said, what's that, Eric? He goes, people need to turn the world down and turn God up. Right. Turn the world down and turn God up. Listen, it's not working. This whole thing here of shutting our ears off and trying the words of God. And when the man of God is up there preaching, and you can sit there, and it doesn't faze you. As a saved person, doesn't the Word of God faze you, Amy? Doesn't it bother you and stir you up and get you motivated and help change your life?
Amen.
How about that singing, Amy? I've seen you in tears. Singing those old good songs. Thank God he didn't throw away that clay.
Amen.
When he heard the truth from the law, it challenged his real motive, which we know was covetousness. But his ears didn't like what he said, and his heart rejected Jesus Christ. His heart rejected the Word of God. Isn't that what most people do tonight? Rejecting the Word of God. Well, Dale, you can't say that. I read my Bible. I really am being diligent. I really do believe this thing. They want you saved. Where's the confusion at? God is not the author of confusion.
Good.
Romans chapter 3. I'll read these. Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 10 through 19 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Is that the truth or is that a lie?
Right. True.
But Dale, I really am seeking. Not according to the Bible, you're
That's
not.
That's right.
According to the Bible, you don't understand it. That means there's got to be an outside source that helps you to understand that.
Right.
But if you're shutting your ears off to it, you're not going to get it. Plain and simple. You're not going to get it. Look at it. It says they are all gone out of their way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is in their lisp. The lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the ways of peace they have not known.
Right.
Man, I remember those times of not knowing what is peace. What is this peace that passes all understanding, Eric, that God talks about? You can't have it unless you're a saved person.
Right.
He gives that to a child of God. And it's a peace that comes in times when most people crumble. When most people have given up and they said, there's nothing left for me anymore. That's when a child of God goes through things and that peace rests on them. And that's that peace that passes up. Why are you so happy going through that? Because God has given me peace that I don't understand. Right. It's his goodness that he gives to a person. My goodness, wouldn't you want that? Miss Mumford, I'm not even kidding you. The night I got saved... And I may have said this before, the night that I got saved, the best pillow I ever slept on was a clean conscience.
Amen. That's right.
I got up knowing that my conscience was absolutely 100% clean. I know, and I've never doubted it since. I got up and I slept the best I ever slept in my entire life. But let me tell you this, I was cranked up for a little bit. I'm not kidding. I was hyper, man. I was pacing back and forth in the house. I was just excited because finally, God had said, finally I seen what he had with me, finally. And Lord willing, tomorrow we'll preach on Job 10. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Don't condemn me, but show me, what are you contending with me? Lord willing, tomorrow night, if God allows you to live and you come here again, we'll see what God does with that message.
Good.
Look at this. Destruction and misery are in their ways. There's no doubt about that. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Zach, could you imagine people today? You ask them, you say, hey, do you fear God? Yes, I fear God. And you watch the way they live. You know people, Michael. They say that they are lost. They know 100% that they are lost. But yet they do not fear God enough to drive them to that Bible to seek God the way God wants them to seek it. Why? What are they doing? How many times it's become a cliche? How many times have we allowed the world and ourselves and our religiousness to desensitize the Word of God? The Word of God hasn't lost any power. The Holy Ghost hasn't stopped doing what he's doing. It's the person that has done that to them. Remember, it says that we limit the Holy One of Israel.
Right.
We can do that.
Sure.
How do we do that? Plugging up our ears. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we know that things, whatsoever thing the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, thank God I'm not under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. I remember the night, Zach, when I became guilty before God. I no longer had any more excuses. It was over with. There was nothing left. Nothing could be. I didn't have a person to blame. I didn't have a situation to blame. I didn't have anything. Nothing at all. My mouth was just stopped. Guilty. Condemned. Forgiveness. Done.
That's right.
Shut up, Steve. It was just shut up. It wasn't there anymore. I didn't have the tortures of those things that were inside of me. I didn't have the tortures of those things that were driving me nuts at night, that would keep me awake at night, that would keep me during the day not wanting to live.
How about that?
Peace. Be still. Woo! Hey, I'm just telling you, if Jesus Christ has never whispered peace, be still to you, you have no clue what you're missing.
Yeah.
But you think you do. That's why you reject it. That's why you keep on keeping on. You keep going ahead and doing it. But you know what it says? That every mouth may be stopped, that all the world may become guilty before God. We're all guilty before God, whether you like it or not.
Right.
Jesus Christ comes back, he blows that trump. You're going to say, let me ask you this. How much fear do you have tonight about standing in front of a holy God to be judged? That would drive me to the cross alone. But that's just proof. That has no effect on a person. Look at it, Zach. How many times can you get up here and preach the cross of Jesus Christ? Can you preach condemnation to a person? Can you preach condemnation to burn in eternity for hell, and it doesn't even drive a person to Jesus Christ? To know what he has done for us, and a person still doesn't want it. It's free. You don't even got to do anything. He's paid it all. Is that what that song says? He's paid it all.
Amen.
Thank God. This rich young ruler heard the law of God. He became guilty, but he rejected the hearing of it. And he turned away because of the temporary pleasures of this world. What are those temporary pleasures? Money. Religion.
Sir.
You see? He knew the law. He knew the commandments. Work. Family. All those were more important to him than his own soul.
Right.
Thank God for his mercy. I believe it was Paul, and he went after. He got it. They were more important to him than his own soul, and he shook off the conviction. Jeremiah 6:10 says this, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? They have to hear.
Sir.
Zach, they have to hear. The problem is they don't want to hear. How many of you really, honestly, I'm not talking about the saved people, but how many, you don't even have to, don't raise your hand, but how many of you really honestly wanted to come here tonight? That you said in your heart, I need to be in church, I need to be underneath that preaching. Instead of, well, I guess I'll go. My family's going, so I guess I will.
Right.
I guess I'll go one more time. I guess I'll just sit there one more time and hear the voice, but never hear the words. Oh, could you imagine? They hear the sound, but they're not hearing the words that are formed from that book. They don't even realize they're rejecting it right now.
Right.
Because their ears, that's why he says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. They cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. A reproach. When a person could care less about the preaching, when a person could care less about the word of God, it's become a reproach to them. But do you think they'll see that? Do you think they will look at that? No, they do not. They're trying to look for something else. The word of God has become, I couldn't even imagine this being a reproach. This is my life.
Sure.
This is my everything.
That's right, preacher.
I'll give up my sleep. You guys know, I don't even sleep enough at night. But you know what? I get myself back in, you know what? If you were overboard off a ship, and you were drowning, and somebody offered to throw you a lifeline, would you reject it? There it is. There it is. Who's going to reject it again? Who's the next one that's going to reject it? Here's that lifeline. All you got to do is come back. All you got to do is come to it. Here it is. Why don't you just grab a hold of this thing? Why are you going to sit there and continue to sink? Why are you going to be taken away by the currents of this world? It's here. Grab it. But you refuse. You refuse. You know, I lived my life for many years as an addict. And for many years, people really kept me in all kinds of programs and stuff. And then programs are complete and absolute failure, 100%. Complete failure, just keep doing the same things over and over again. I was just telling, I don't know who I was talking to, bro, Eric. I was talking to Eric today. I said, I got a man that I'm dealing with in prison. He's getting ready to go do 17 years, young black guy. Getting ready to do 17 years. I said, my friend, I said, we're having a discussion about rehabs and, you know, AA and NA and such. And I said, my friend, I said, so has these things helped you? He said, yeah, brother. He said, these things helped me a lot. I said, well, okay. I said, so what help did you get? He goes, I went through there 4 times. I said, and I knew what he was in there for. I said, Tyler, not Tyler, the first one. I said, what are you in here for now? He said, selling bad dope to somebody and killing them. I said, were you using it as well? He said, I was. So that rehab helped you?
Right.
I'm not in recovery.
Hey.
I'm recovered.
Amen.
I don't need AA and NA. I don't need none of that nonsense. It don't help me. I remember going to those meetings. When I went to those meetings, Brother Steve, you know what made me want to do? It made me want to go out and use more. Matter of fact, I got better contacts when I went to them.
Sure.
Better dope man, better spot to get them, okay? Made more friends to go out there and use with. When somebody first started telling me that Jesus Christ could take that from me, I didn't believe it. You gotta be kidding me. What do you mean? Today? How many years has it been, Amy? Since I got saved. I don't think I've used ever since then. Look at the foreskin of the sin nature in the ear stops the word of God from penetrating their ear to hear. How does this get removed? So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not going to come any other way. Look at this. It says in Hebrews, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder in soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow.
Right.
And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. And look, it says, in whom you're also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. There's only one way your ears are going to be circumcised, and that's by hearing the word of God. Isn't that what John 1:14 says? That Jesus Christ is the word of God in the flesh? He's going to, by hearing this word of God, by hearing the word of God, it's going to circumcise the ear. It's going to circumcise the heart. But let me just tell you one thing. You have to be willing to let that happen. You have to be willing to let that happen. Matthew 13, here's what happens. Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15, it says, "In them is fulfilled this prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear."
Right.
You all agree that you're hearing my voice? But look at the next, here's what it says, "and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and not perceive." Why? "For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are full," or excuse me, "are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and they should be converted and I should heal them." You understand, my friend? You have to hear the word. You can't reject it and expect God to look at you and go, "Oh, look at, they're really being diligent. Look at, they're going to church. Oh, look how wonderful that is that they're doing this thing." Could you imagine God compromising one moment, Zach, to save a person? You know, God wouldn't, he wouldn't tell a little white lie to keep me out of hell.
Right.
Dull of hearing is not that, it's not that a person's not hearing. They are hearing. But they've become slow of understanding. The word of God to them is without life. It's without spirit. They're slow of hearing because it has become a cliche. It has become dull. It has become non-important. And sin and the devil has rocked them to sleep. I always say this. This is not something that we do. It's who we are. This is who we are. This is who the Morys are. This isn't something we do, Mike. I don't just come to church 2 to 3 times a week. I don't just come on a Wednesday and a Sunday. No, this is who we are. This is our life. This is who we are. This is who God has made us into. And I watch others as they come. If you got to go to church that way, you might as well go ahead and just stay home. God wants a cheerful giver. That includes yourself.
Right.
You can't be cheerful or no. Listen, if you know and understand fully that you are lost, you should come through those doors expecting God to show up and save you.
Amen.
If you're not doing that, you're on the wrong track. You haven't got there yet. You're not ready. You got to get ready. You got to allow the Holy Ghost of God to come and sweep it through them pews and do something with you. You should, listen, you can come into this church and you may not leave here saved the first or second or third time, but you should leave out these doors different. You should be seeking differently. You should be looking differently. You should be doing things differently because you now know and you understand that you are a condemned person. You know, in prison, they call it a dead man walking.
Right.
And I told you the other day, when a person understands they're on death row, they do anything to get off of it. Brother, they don't believe that they're lost and condemned. If they did, you know what they would do? Everything they can to get out of it. You can't get saved without the Word of God. The Bible's clear on that.
Right.
If you won't pick up the Word of God, forget it. Dull of hearing. They have been rocked asleep. To be dull of hearing means a person has allowed the Word of God, has allowed preaching, and has allowed the church to become non-pleasing and non-delightful and non-exhilarating. That's what dull means. Dull means you can hear my voice, but it means nothing. You can hear the words, but you're not listening to the formation of the words of God coming out. You're not listening to it. It's dull of hearing. It's just like taking something that's not shiny. And say, "Look at my shiny coin." You look and go, "Oh, that's pretty dull." That's what you're doing to the Word of God. Why? Shutting your ears. Closing them up. Not hearing it anymore. I know some of you grew up in church, but you know what? That has become your enemy.
Right.
It's become your enemy. If you're an unsaved person and you grew up in church, growing up in church has been your enemy.
That's right. Believe that.
It's become a cliche. You've taken the power from God. God hasn't taken the power. It's still the same God, still the same Bible. Is it not, Brother
sure.
David? Tell me one person that would come here tonight to the foot of the cross, understanding, seeing themselves exactly what they are. You mean to tell me God wouldn't save them? That power is still there.
Amen. Amen.
Look at, you don't have to turn there. Proverbs 23:9 says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, For he will despise the wisdom of thy words, brother. That's what was going on to you when you were talking. The fools in this pew were looking at you in despise of what you were saying. And I watched it. And I watched it. Hey, that's the Bible truth. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. God put that verse in. I wrote that verse in this morning because God put that on my heart. That wasn't there originally. In red right there. Because God knew that this very night, people were going to be in this room when the man of God was preaching the word of God. When you were saying things from the word of God, that the fools in here were going to be a mockery. They were going to despise what was being said. He will, or she, will despise the wisdom of their words. They will whore. They will abhor. They will hate the words spoken.
Sir.
And you know what else? They hate the man speaking them. That's a reality, Zach. If a man of God today can't take his congregation hating him, then he ain't fit to be a man of God. Because they should be hating him just as well as they love him. Why? He's preaching the truth to them. How bad? How bad was it for us with Pastor? You know what he did? It wasn't me. It was Jesus Christ. He would tell me over and over again. He just had to withstand myself because it was me. And he just had to let God show me exactly what it was for me. That's what he had to do. And you know what? Many preachers aren't doing that today. And it's a shame what happens.
Right.
Proverbs 5 verses 12 and 13 says, "And they have hated instruction." Here's for you guys who grew up in church. Went through Sunday schools. Here's what it says. It says, how have I hated instruction? And my heart despised the reproof. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that have instructed me. So what does Sunday school mean to you? Now here you are, you're an adult. And now you're in church as an unsaved person. What did you do with them instructions? I can remember my Sunday school class when I first got saved. And I had some of the guys in there, some of the Asquith boys. And they come up and tell me, they said, "Dale, we just hated everything you said." You know why? I said, "Why is that?" He goes, "Because you're always pinpointing the stuff we were doing." There it is. There's that verse right there. There it is, alive, Michael. There it is. It's right there. It's plain and simple. And I'm telling you right now, if that's your attitude in this room towards God and His Word, you're not going to get saved. Unfortunately, that's your choice.
That's right.
Unfortunately, that's your choice because God gives you a choice. He made the choice. He chose the cross. He could have just said, "You know what? They want to reject me. Go to hell." You said it. How thankful are you tonight for being sitting in this room and not burning in hell right now? How many of you really are thankful that is what's really taking place? The problem is they don't believe it can happen to them. God, please don't use these people as an example. Could you imagine you getting a phone call? Yeah. Could you imagine him or Zach getting a phone call and saying, "My gosh, so-and-so." No. No. That's the reality, brother. 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4 says time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You see what's going on here with the hearing and the ears? You see there's a whole thing going on here in the Bible that God is trying to show a person that you're not hearing what needs to be heard. He's trying to point it out that you're just not hearing what he's trying to say. You'll listen to somebody else. It'll make you angry. Doesn't it make you angry? Oh, he'd get up there and preach, my pastor would. It'd make me so bitter and hateful towards him. I'd say, "Amy, he's in our house. He's looking in our window." Your dad used to get under my skin when he got up there and preach. You know what was happening, Mike? The Holy Ghost of God was pinpointing.
Amen. Amen.
It wasn't nothing to do with that man.
That's right.
I love him. Thank God. Thank God for Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven. But thank God for a man of God who loved me the way he loved me. And just tell me exactly how it is. He didn't pussyfoot with me. I needed to hear that. But after their own lust in their hearts, they heap up themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. That's what Job is talking about. They're going to take and they're going to turn their ears away from the truth. And what? Turn to what? Fables. That's a little religious piety that you're carrying around with yourself. That's a little fable. That little thing that you're on the Mr. or Mrs. Goody Two-Shoe. No, you're not. According to this Bible, you're a condemned man or woman, and you're walking around on borrowed time, and you're spinning that chamber once again, and you're playing Russian roulette with your soul. Does it matter to you? Listen, if you were afraid of hell like you think you say you are, you'd be saved tonight. If you were afraid of God, if you had a fear of God like you say that you have a fear of God, you'd be saved tonight. If you believed any part of this Bible to be what it says to be, you'd be saved tonight.
Right.
Proverbs 28:9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. You go, then how's a saved person supposed to get saved? If they can't pray to God, they can. But those who reject what is being said, it's an abomination to God when they pray to him. He's sick and tired of hearing it. He's sick and tired of hearing the same old nonsense over and over again. You know what? To those who really are seeking repentance, to those who are not rejected. You know, the Bible says that God is after those who have a love for the truth. If you've lost the love for the truth, then your prayer is an abomination to God. Why? You're rejecting his word. You're not rejecting me. You're not rejecting Brother Vernon or our Brother Zach Vernon. You're rejecting Jesus Christ and the Word. You're not rejecting us. It's what Jesus Christ said. He says, if the world hated you, don't worry. It's hated me first. And listen, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. People get mad at the pastor. They get mad at the man of God when he preaches that word down the line. Don't get mad at him. There you go. Take it out with him.
Lord
God. Go to him. Amen. Go to him. What I'm telling you here is not what I speak. This is what God has written up. This is what God has given us. This is what God wants. You know why? Because he loves every person in this room. Right. You are something special to him. Therefore, he brought somebody to tell you the truth. Not that you don't, brother. I did not mean it that way. But he brought somebody to tell the truth.
Right?
Mark chapter 7, verse 14 through 23, it says, and when he called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, these are they which defile the man. And if any have ears to hear, how many can hear me say this? Ho! How many of you heard me say that?
Man.
Then you have ears to hear. And now Jesus Christ is about to say something. He's about to challenge something. What are you going to do at this very moment when I go in here and I read the words of God? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to reject it like you have been? Or are you going to listen to what God says? That's what he's challenging you on. If you have ears to hear, let him hear. Is that not what it just said, Zach? Watch this. Let him hear. By the way, Jesus just gave a command there. Let. Let him hear. That's a command that Jesus. If you'll hear, if you'll make that decision to hear, then hear. I give you permission. So he just did. Jesus Christ just commanded that if you will make that choice to hear, he'll let you hear. That's what he just said. Is that wonderful? All those years ago, Mike, that God was thinking about us, my friend.
Sure.
Because he let us hear.
Right.
Let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning this parable. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? You know why they're without understanding? Because they weren't listening to a thing he said. You can't have an understanding if you're not hearing. And here are his disciples standing there. What a good example to see how people don't listen to Jesus Christ. Even his own disciples didn't understand. And Jesus Christ said, if you'll listen, I'll give you the understanding. I'll give you the knowledge. I'll give you the wisdom. But if you're not hearing, guess what you don't? You don't understand. Now he's about to rebuke them. Do you not perceive? that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats that's going to the eating and going to the bathroom. And he said, this which cometh out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, from out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries. Wait, I thought that was a physical thing. Let me just tell you this. You can commit those things in your very heart.
Sure.
Well, I didn't step out on my wife. I didn't step out on my husband. In your heart, you did. You're just as guilty. Hey, let me just say this. I was just crazy enough to go out there and live what my heart did. You're just not crazy enough to go ahead. You still live the same thing in your heart sitting there in these pews.
Right.
I just lived mine out there where everybody can see it. But you're the same way, and you're sitting here in the church pews with that in your heart.
That's right.
Look at it says, it defiled man from within, the heart of man proceeded evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye. You know what an evil eye? An evil eye is always looking for something wrong. Brother, you know how many evil eyes you get? I probably witnessed about two of them tonight.
It's a good night.
You know where that's coming from? The heart.
That's right.
That's coming from the heart. That's the thing that's coming from the heart. That's inside that person. It don't have to be a physical thing. It took me a minute to get that. Blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man or woman. How about that?
Right.
These are what's defiling. It's not the outward thing that you're doing. So seeing me dressed in this tie and shirt, this is not what makes me a saved person. It's Jesus Christ living inside of me. When I finally seen myself the way he said, when I finally could look at these verses and go, oh my goodness, that's me. That's me.
Right.
He's talking about me. I didn't murder nobody, but in my heart I did.
Right.
I'd murder my own mother in my heart. Acts 7:4. 51 through 57 says, you stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You stiff necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always, here it is, here it is. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. Mm. You know what kind of accusation that was just laid out right there? That you're always resisting the Holy Ghost. Why? Because your heart and your ears are not circumcised. That's your choice. When a person goes for surgery, they have to make a choice. Do I go for that surgery or do I not? You're going to let God circumcise your heart and your ears so that you'll hear? Or you're going to continue to resist? Look, the Bible just said that you resist the Holy Ghost. Listen, God is not a cosmic rapist where he's going to force himself on you. That's why we can resist him. Because he's going to gently and lovingly come. And he's going to bring that conviction out of 100% pure love. People look, you know how they look at Holy Ghost conviction? Like God is trying to torture him. God forbid if he's trying to torture you, he's trying to save you from being tortured. His love, his 100% pure love has driven him to show you those things. To take that time to work inside of you so you didn't have to suffer. It says you resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain at them which showed before the coming of the Lord, the just one, of whom ye have seen now betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by dispensation of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. You see, something happens when a person gets under Holy Ghost conviction. That person doesn't know how to handle it. Instead of they want to run, but a man of God needs to stand there and tell him, don't run, flee to Jesus, not from him. Don't hate the man of God. Don't be like these people here that when a man of God comes up here and preaches, you want to stone him like they did Stephen. He was full of the Holy Ghost. Man. You go ahead and do what you got to do. I'm going to stand here, and me and Jesus is about to have a relationship.
Right.
And Jesus Christ is standing. It's the one and only time you ever see him standing. He's ready to welcome Stephen into heaven. He's going to salute him for what he's about to do. Amen. How about that? What a good God. And look what it says here. Standing and looked up steadfastly in heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand." Then they cried out with a loud voice, and look what it says, and stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear it anymore. They didn't want to hear anymore. They didn't want to hear the conviction. They didn't want to hear what Stephen had to say about God. They were tired of hearing it. My friend, are you tired of hearing it? Because if so, you're in a dangerous place. You've stopped your ears. That's resisting the Holy Ghost. Not stopping him. You're not going to stop him from doing what he wants to do, but you will resist him. It will stop him. That's you. You're the one who's resisting him. You're the one who's putting up that resistance, not him. Zach, what an awesome God to know that he would just do that for us.
Sure.
I'm almost done here. Zechariah 7:11 says, "But they refused to hearken." That word hearken means to listen. "And they pulled away their shoulder, brother, and they stopped their ears that they should not hear." You mean people are doing it? Listen, they're doing it throughout the whole Bible. God's talking, Moses is talking, prophets talking, Jesus Christ is talking, and everybody's stopping their ears. Why? Because they don't want to hear it. They'll tell people, "I'm lost, and I really do want to get saved, and I really want to be diligent, and I really want God to save me." And inside, remember, in their heart, they're saying, "I really don't want that." They despise hearing this book preached. They despised hearing a person get up here and preach these words that could bring conviction, that can bring them to a place of repentance, to salvation. And they reject it, but yet over and over again, they'll tell you how much they want to get saved. I remember those lies. "Pastor, I'm being diligent. Why won't God save me? Why won't he save me? I'm being diligent. I'm doing it. Look at all the stuff I'm doing to study." And I remember God showing me that's become your religion.
Right.
We make it into a religion, Mike, and that's why it don't work, because Jesus Christ is not a religion. He's not a religion. And people make seeking for Jesus Christ. And you know what happens when you know how you know what you're doing has become a religion? When you don't want to do it anymore. Because when you really seek God, you still want to do it. Let me repeat that. You know how you know you're doing a religious act? You get tired of seeking.
Right.
You know how you know that you're really seeking? You don't get tired of it. You want more.
Right. That's good, preacher.
That's a reality. That's a reality, brother. I went there. Me and my wife went there. Listen, I'm not telling you something we did not experience ourselves. Turn with me to Isaiah 59, if you will. I want to read this real quick. Isaiah chapter 59.
Amen.
You need to hear this. And I mean hear it. I don't mean just listen to the words. I mean you need to hear it and know that this is the word of God. Isaiah chapter 59. I'm only going to read the first 8 verses. There's more in there, but I'll read the first 8 because it'll get to the point that I need to get to. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. And it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save." But how many of you really believe that in this room tonight, lost? How many? Go to God and tell him this. "I don't believe you can save me. Because your Bible says you can save and I'm not saved. So therefore, go and be honest with him because you really don't believe he can do it." Well, the Bible just told you it's not his hand's not shortened that he can't do it. He can do it. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then you're ready to get saved. If you don't believe it, then stay lost. It's plain and simple. "Neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God and your sins." My friend, do you understand that it's not that God is not the problem, you are. The problem is you won't see what his problem is with you. It says that your sins, Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and they have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Dale, why doesn't God hear my prayers? He hears your prayers. He's just not going to answer them because you know why? Your sins and your iniquities are keeping you separate. But how? What do you mean? Listen, man, it's not the things you already know. Let go of that nonsense and foolishness. It's something you don't know. It's something that he's trying to dig at. It's something that he's trying to do in Proverbs 20:27 when he says the spirit is a candle that God uses to light the inward parts of the belly. Right. That's what he's trying to get at. That's what he's trying to get at, not what you already know. We can always go and confess what we already know. It's the thing that we don't know that God is trying to get at. Verse 3 says, for your hands have defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Dale, when have I done that in your heart? Even this very night, condemned and guilty before a holy God, and it still drives you nowhere. Sure. Why? Because your ears are not hearing. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. When's the last time they walked up to your brother David and pleaded you, please, Zach, give me the truth. Please, man, I need to get saved. Please, can I have the truth? When's the last time you ever heard somebody do that? Ooh. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Do you know what iniquity is? Iniquity is a lawlessness inside of yourself. God has these laws, and you look at them and you go, I don't care about the laws of God. That is the iniquity. That is what's keeping you separate from him. Your lawlessness, your rebelness, that's inside of you. It's separating you and God, and you refuse to look at it. It says they have... They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave spiders' webs and that they eateth their own eggs and that dieth and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. And what he's saying there is they conceive all these things. They go out there and they get themselves in all these sins and they go out there and get themselves trapped in all this stuff. I'm watching guys over and over, and ladies as well who are out there and they're trying to bob and weave like they've always done. And more of them are dying with needles in their arms than I've ever seen in my entire life because they really think that they know what they're doing. They come out of jail, they come out of prison, and they tell me they're saved. And very shortly after that, there they are again with a needle in their arm. It breaks my heart because I love those people, man. But they do this. They're the ones making that choice. God has made a choice for them not to have to do that. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with the works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. When he says there that they haste to shed innocent blood, do you know that you can kill somebody with your heart? You can come to a place where you hate somebody so much in here that you kill them, and you're guilty of that blood? Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Wasting and destruction. The way of peace they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whatsoever goeth therein shall not know peace. What peace do you have tonight? Is it the peace of this world, which is very short? Or is it the peace of God which passes all understanding, which lasts for a very long time? Sure, we have hard times as Christians. Sure, we go through things. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Going through things with Jesus Christ, I can't even imagine looking at a person who goes through it without him.
That's right.
I don't know what that is anymore, Zach. Thank God I don't know what it's like to go without Jesus Christ. Thank God I don't know what it's like to go through those hard times and those hard things without Jesus Christ. Because I look back and go, how did I ever make it?
Right.
The mercies of God. That's why I made it. I didn't know that at the time. I look back now, Mike, and go, man, God had to be in that.
Right.
If he didn't step in, I'm dead.
That's right.
I'm almost done. I'm just going to preach this. I got a few more things. We'll be all right. 1 John, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read something, but I want to point something out here in 1 John. If I can get there, I got a new Bible. My pastor didn't like it, so he gave it to me. I love it. It's a big print, and I just love it. I'm just right now. I'm sharpening it right now. Okay, my other sword's sharp. Right? I love that. I can turn it. Pop, 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 pop. This one here, I'm sharpening it right now. Okay, I'm getting that thing honed up. I love the Bible, man. I do. I love Bibles. When I get a new Bible, I'm like, whoa, like, wow, man, did you get a new car? No, I got a new Bible, man. You know, I'm all excited about it. I'm not kidding you. Zach, that's for real, bro.
That's for real.
You know, you're looking at me like, this dude's crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I love the Bible, man. I'm not crazy. I'm saying, you know, remember the man in the gardenes? Clothed in his right mind? That's me today. That's me today. I'm clothed in my right mind. People think I'm crazy, though. I'm not crazy. I'm in my right mind.
That's right.
Oh, boy, I love it. All right, 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read this. Look at 1 John chapter 4.
I do too.
Look at this. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Uh-oh. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby you know the spirit, capital S spirit, which is very important. You should know your S's, whether they're capital or whether they're not capital, when it comes to the word spirit, because they're very important on discerning what part of the Godhead is doing work. Okay, it's very important. Now, when you got other Bibles, even King James Bibles changing those, there's an issue. Okay, the issue is they think they know better than God. Okay? It's a shame that's what happens in the Bibles today. But look at, hereby we know ye the Spirit of God, capital S Spirit. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already as it is in the world. That means tonight. There are people who are sitting in this room who do not, in their heart, believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They say it with their religious piety out of their mouth. They say it out of the knowledge of knowing the Bible. But in their heart, they do not believe that. And they are Antichrist tonight.
Right.
That's what the Bible just said. It can't get any clearer than that.
That's right.
You're sitting in this room tonight, and you're Antichrist and okay with it. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world. You ever talk to a Christian and all they talk about is the worldly things? Mm-hmm. Why? Because they're not really Christian. They are of the world.
Right.
They still belong to the world.
Right.
Zach, when we conversate, you know, when we conversate about Bible and family, that's right. We talk about Christian things. Why? Because we're not of the world. When a person gets together and that's all you hear, the things of the world, it's because that's where they belong. They still belong to the world. There are some conversations that come up, you talk about things of the world, but that should not be the forefront. Hey, I thank God. That's right. A little bit. But I thank God that he has changed that desire in me where I love to talk about Christian things, spiritual things, talking about that Bible and stuff. Man, holiness and all that. Man, what a wonderful thing that is.
God's people do. Amen.
They are the world because they speak of the world. And the world heareth them. Mm-hmm. Look what it says in verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. You know why you can't hear what I'm saying tonight? Because you are not of God. That's what it just said. The ones that are saved in this room are hearing every word coming out of that Bible. I guarantee you this, by the time I'm done, I can take a quiz and most of you will not even know the very first verse that I started with. Why? Because you're not of God. That's what it says. You're not of God. And here's what it says, and it goes on, it says, beloved, God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is how we can tell somebody who has it and who doesn't have it. Notice in verse 6 it says, he or she that is not of God heareth not. I just want you to see. I want you to see there's an ETH on the back of that word. Hear. It says heareth. That means these people continually refuse and reject to hear. Heareth means it's something that, the ETH means it's something that continues to happen. It never stops, okay? When you see an ETH on the end of a word in your King James Bible, it's something that continues to go on. Here, God just told you that people who don't, who are not saved, who are not hearing, they continue to do that. It doesn't happen just one time. It's something they've learned how to do. Believe it or not, I'm almost done. Hearken is to listen with eagerness, curiosity, to regard, to observe, or to obey what is being said, or to comply with. That's what it means to hearken. Jeremiah 7, verses 23 and 24 says, "But this thing I command thee, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you shall be my people, and you shall walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that you, it may be well with you unto you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart." And here's what happened, Brother Zach. They went backward and not forward.
Right.
How many people have been seeking for years and going, "It's just not going to happen for me. Now I'm going to step backwards." They, you know what? That person used to read the Bible. That person used to pray. But now they're stepping backwards. Why? Because their evil heart's done that. They've plugged their ears from hearing. They don't want to hear it no more. And so instead of moving forward to Jesus Christ, they move backwards from Jesus Christ. You know what that's? It's made them despise church. It's made them despise preaching. It's made them despise the hearing of the Word of God. It's made them despise the preachers. It's made them despise anything that has to do with church. It's made them hate it. Oh, this is my last verse and I'm done. 1 Corinthians 2, verses, I'm just going to read a few verses here. "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed unto them by unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." But here it is. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." Why? "For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." My friend, if you're sitting in this room tonight and you're lost and you can't figure out how to get to God, how can this happen? Listen, you're spiritually discerned. You cannot understand those things until the Spirit of God awakens you to those things. You know how that's going to happen? Go and determine in your heart, purpose in your heart, that you're going to open your ears to the Word of God again. Purpose in your heart that you're going to listen when the man of God is up here preaching and teaching. That you're going to, you know what you're going to do? You're going to go and you're going to listen to sermons. You're going to listen to them on the radio, on your DVD in your car or whatever. Listen to them while you're at home. Determined to get back into those things. Why? Because it's through those things. It's through the Word of God. It's through the foolishness of preaching to save them which trust. No, it's through the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe.
Amen.
So how are you ever going to come to that place to believe if you won't listen to the foolishness of preaching? Pastor, I'm done.